This is the third sermon under the umbrella of you will know you're getting older when ... And there's so many ways to finish that sentence. For instance, I have a new one here. It says, you'll know you're getting older when it takes twice as long to look half as good. Here's another one. Inside every old person is a young person wondering what happened. Okay, they're mostly jokes, but they also end in different ways. And today's focus is you'll know you're getting older when you're filled with fears. That statement is not completely true, because you can be filled with fears at any age at all. But there are some common fears that senior citizens seem to share together. By the way, what is the definition of a senior citizen? Have you ever wondered about that? I was surprised to learn that there are literal definitions. According to the Social Security Administration, anyone 65 years or older is considered elderly. That's the official definition. Some of us would call a 65-year-old a young person, right? The IRS considers you to be a senior citizen at the age of 60. What? The IRS also, for tax purposes, says that when you reach the age of 80, you are officially a super senior citizen. It's a bird. It's a plane. No, it's super senior citizen. I couldn't believe that one. Brothers and sisters, it's no secret that most of us are in the final stretch. And we all know we're getting older for a variety of reasons, and we share some of those reasons and some of those concerns. And one of them is a collection of fears. According to the experts, whoever they are, these are the 10 most common fears that are shared by senior citizens. And they're in no particular order. And see if you can identify with any of these. First one, the fear of mental or physical decline. The second one, a fear of falling. The third one, the fear of not being able to drive anymore. The next one, the fear of losing your independence. The fear of becoming a burden for someone. The fear of running out of money. The fear of being victimized. The fear of being left alone. The fear of a slow, painful death. And the fear of death itself for some people. I thought of a few others that the experts did not mention, such as the fear of new technology. A lot of the new technology, you know, is really good for us. It does good things for us. It entertains us. It helps us. It helps us get through some of our physical problems. But there is a common fear of new things in older people. The new technology sometimes causes them to back off. There's also a common fear of public speaking. That can happen at any age as well. There's the fear of losing your hearing, or losing your eyesight, or losing your teeth. And here's a new one, a fear of COVID. Some people are scared to death of it. And a fear of getting the flu at your age, at our age. And the fear, this is a big one, the fear of a collapse of our society. That certainly doesn't cover them all, and perhaps you don't identify with any of them. However, I think it's safe to say that the majority of senior citizens share at least secret concerns about some of the things on those lists that I've just read. Is that a problem? I don't think so. Because I think most of those concerns are really kind of rational concerns. But on the other hand, if any of those concerns become consuming concerns, if they become stress-producing concerns, if they become phobias, then yes, there's a problem. Here's a summary of what I'm going to say for the rest of this sermon. So after I've given you the summary, you can take your nap. Here's what I'm going to say. If you are full of fear, then you are not full of faith. Say it. If you are... Okay, now you can sleep. 2 Timothy 1, verse 7 says, "For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind." You know, fear was not even a part of Adam and Eve's existence in the garden at first. It was planted in their minds when they realized they had sinned. And who planted it there? Satan. The devil did it. God came into the garden and he said, "Where are you?" He knew where they were. But he said, "Where are you?" He also knew why they were there. They were trying to hide because they were aware of their sin. You cannot hide from God either. He knows where you are and he knows your sins. And you'll find no room for faith in your life if you fill your life with fear. I'm reminded of a very familiar story from Matthew chapter 8. The disciples and Jesus were on a boat in the middle of the Sea of Galilee, and a big storm came up. It says, without warning, that's scary enough, isn't it? Without warning, a furious storm came up on the lake so that the waves swept over the boat. Now, I've been to the Holy Land 15 times, and I can tell you that meteorologically that happens. That is a true experience on the Sea of Galilee, easily, because that big, big lake is surrounded by small mountains, and when a weather front comes over those mountains and it swoops down into that water, it can cause a storm to come up just almost instantly. It can be very, very frightening. Without warning, a furious storm came up on the lake so that the waves swept over the boat, but Jesus was sleeping. Jesus was sleeping. The disciples went and woke him up, saying, "Lord, save us. We're going to drown." And he replied, "Oh, you of little faith, why are you so afraid?" Jesus had a way of getting right to the point, didn't he? And I think it's safe to say that if you were to come to him about any of those things that I read on the list and cry out to him about them, that he might say the same thing to you and me. You have little faith. Why are you so afraid? Hopefully he would not say, you of no faith, but just little faith. How big is your God? How big is your faith? How consistent is your faith? How small is your faith? How real is your faith? Examples. "Lord, I'm afraid of falling." Well, Jesus can rebuke that. "Lord, I'm afraid of losing my independence." Well, he can rebuke that too. It's remarkable. But even more remarkable than all of that, he can give you the power to rebuke it yourself. Amen. I miss you when you're not here, Kathy. In fact, that's what he wants us to do, brothers and sisters. We need to learn to resist fear and walk in faith. Let me ask you this. Are you afraid of the dark? Lots of children are afraid of the dark, and their parents are always trying to comfort them and teach them in some way that that fear is irrational. They may not use such a big word as that, but you get the idea. And eventually, the child grows up, and the child begins to realize that the darkness doesn't harm them. And eventually, their fear diminishes, and they get over it, hopefully. Well, if you are afraid of the dark, grow up. And when it comes to those common fears that we listed for senior citizens today, we all need to grow up and realize that we can allow those fears to control us. Fear leads to failure. The two go hand in hand. They feed off of one another. So who has given us that spirit? You know the answer. Satan is a fearmonger. He is the one who wants you to be an alarmist about everything. Do you know anybody like that? Are you like that? If you're walking in fear, then Satan is your walking stick. If that is what you want people to see in you when you are interacting with them, then you don't understand the Christian witness. You're in Christ. Christ is in you. Do you want them to see you and hear you afraid of everything? No, you don't want that. There's a wonderful lesson for us in Joshua 3. The Hebrews had come again to the Holy Land. I'm not talking about Moses. I mean, that was a generation earlier. I'm talking about the second time they came to the Jordan River. Joshua is leading them. They're standing on the Jordan River, and they're looking over at the promised land, and they're getting ready to march in there and take it over. But some of the people were afraid, and they said, "There's giants over there." I'm beginning the story in Joshua 3:6. Joshua said to the priest, "Take up the Ark of the Covenant and press on ahead of the people." And the Lord said to Joshua, "Tell the priest who carry the Ark of the Covenant, when you reach the edge of the Jordan's waters, go and stand in the river." And as soon as the priest set foot in the Jordan, its waters flowing downstream will be cut off and stand up in a heap. So when the people broke camp to cross the Jordan, the priests, carrying the Ark of the Covenant, went ahead of them. Now the Jordan was at flood stage during the harvest. That is more for them to fear. It's a flooding, flowing river. Yet, as soon as the priest who carried the Ark reached the Jordan and their feet touched the water's edge, the water from upstream stopped flowing. And of course, they walked over on dry ground to the other side, just like Moses had carried them across the Red Sea when God parted those waters. And they crossed over on dry ground. Wow. But did you catch two important details in that story? First of all, as we said, the river was in flood stage. You know what that meant? That meant getting across that river, walking across it, was impossible. If the fears in the list seem impossible to you, then you've allowed them to come at flood stage. And Jesus says, "You have little faith. Why are you so afraid?" And the second detail is that the flowing river did not stop flowing until they put their toes in the water. And when they put their toes in the water, in faith, the river stopped flowing. They could have stood there at that roaring river and they could have waited. They could have asked it. Are we supposed to get in there? No. know, they must have thought it was crazy. God wants me to put my foot in that flowing river. They were overcome with fear. And yet, they seized faith. They seized obedience. They put their feet in that water, and God did his thing. The devil can keep you down because you are too afraid to put your foot in the water. Grow up in the Lord. You and I are a lot like the Apostle Paul in 2 Corinthians. It says, there was given to me a thorn in my flesh, a messenger of Satan to torment me. We don't know exactly what that thorn in the flesh was, but I can tell you that many of us in here know what it is to have a thorn in the flesh. All you have to do is come 10 minutes earlier and stand out there in the foyer, and you'll hear an organ recital just about every week. There was given to me a thorn in my flesh, a messenger of Satan to torment me. And I don't know what your thorn might be, and you don't know what my thorn might be, but you know what? God does. God does. Continuing, Paul added, three times I pleaded with the Lord to take it away from me. But he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness, in your weakness. That's a faith builder. That is a faith builder. My grace is sufficient for you. God will take care of you. If you open your mind and your heart and your spirit to really hear those words as God wants you to hear them and internalize them and walk by them, they will build your faith. They are a fear buster. I like that term, fear buster. 1 Peter 5, 8 through 9. Be self-controlled and alert. We read this earlier. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. He's out to get you. So Peter said, resist him. I wrote that in all capital letters. Resist him. Stand firm in the faith. James put it this way in chapter 4, verse 7. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. In light of our application for today, listen to these familiar words from Paul in the book of Romans chapter 8. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present or things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Now think about that. In our list of the most common fears for senior citizens, how many times did approaching death come up? How many times did living life now come up, even if life is compromised for us? Both of them were common themes. And Paul said, neither of them are going to separate you from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, unless you allow them to. Unless you allow them to. I don't know what your final year of life is going to be like, or your final month, or your final week, or your final days, but God does. He knows. And as the old spiritual says, he's got the whole world in his hands, and that includes you and me. He has us in his hands. The problem is that we try to hold it in our hands instead of releasing it to him and letting him take it. He's a lot better at it than we are. We need to release it to him and allow him to do his thing. Back to our list of those fears. If you have any negative thoughts bouncing around in your head about any of those subjects that were on that list, guess who put those thoughts there? You know who put those thoughts there. And guess who allowed him to put those thoughts there? What kind of negative thoughts am I talking about? Here are some common ones. This is too much for me, Lord. I can't handle this. Have you ever felt that way? Or what about this? Why did I deserve this? Why are you punishing me? Did you ever feel that way? What if I lose control of my body or my mind? Who said we were in control of our bodies and mind in the first place? Or this one. I'm afraid I'm going to run out of money before I die. That's highly unlikely. I have a dear neighbor who is 87 years old, a widow. She has two sources of income. One of them is her Social Security check, and the other is the stock market. She has unwisely put all of her resources into the stock market. All of them. I can always tell when the stock market is down because she comes out of her house, I meet her at the mailbox, and she's literally crying out, "What am I going to do? I'm going to run out of money." That's her barometer. Another friend has said to her, "Oh, but you live in an expensive house and it's completely paid for. You're not out of resources." And she said, "I never thought of that." Brothers and sisters, if you're walking with God, then you are surrounded by unlimited resources, both material and beyond material. God will take care of you. Psalm 55:22, cast all your cares upon the Lord because he will sustain you. Here's what I want you to do. Today, wake up. I want you to make a declaration today. I will rise in the name of Jesus Christ, and I will walk in the authority that Jesus Christ has transferred to me. I will rise up and walk worthy as a child of God. I will rise up and I will boldly declare that God's word is true. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. I will rise up. I will rise up. I will rise up and I will see the glory of God poured over me because the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, may we walk in faith. May we walk knowing that you're in charge. And may we replace all those fears that we allow to build up inside of us and be free to be your child. I pray in Jesus' name.